Good morning. Please have a seat. I want to welcome you to this time of worship as we gather here today. If you are visiting with us this morning, a warm welcome to you. You have found yourself in the midst of Cole Harbor Woodside United Church, and we are so pleased you're with us this morning. If you are visiting, please do let us know that you've been here. We have a guest book just outside the entryway to the sanctuary here, and we have a time of fellowship following the service. So please do join us. When you head out the sanctuary, go left and follow your nose. Goodies and coffee, tea are always there, ready to be shared. I am Reverend Michael Mugford, and I have the honor of being in ministry here at Cole Harbor Woodside. During the service, there is an opportunity for an offering, if you would so choose to do. There are guest offering envelopes in the pews, if you would like to avail yourself of that at that time. If you do, we'd love it if you'd put your name and address on there, because we'd like to be able to just say thanks for having been with us this morning, and to honor and recognize that. And if you are looking for a church home and think Cole Harbor Woodside might just be the crazy, insane place you'd like to worship regularly, come and see me following the service. Those of you who have been here a long time know exactly what I mean when I say crazy and insane place. So, we gather this morning, as we do each Sunday morning, recognizing that we are living and working and breathing on the traditional territory of Indigenous peoples. And in a way, as a way of honoring that, I invite us to share together in the words of the acknowledgement of place. I have put out an invitation a couple of times. I'll do it again. I'm hoping to have a brown bag lunch after church one Sunday. Bring a lunch with you as an opportunity to talk about what it means to live in right relations with Indigenous peoples in this land. So if you're interested in that, watch your bulletins and the announcements for the date that will be chosen one Sunday after church. And we can have some conversation about this and other parts of perhaps the Truth and Reconciliation Commission report. And how it is we live and work in this land. For now, let us share together these words. For thousands of years, First Nations people have walked on this land. Their relationship with the land is at the center of their lives and spirituality. Through mutuality of the Peace and Friendship Treaty, we gather on the traditional territory of the Mi'kmaq people, and we acknowledge that their place on their land is protected throughout the ages. We are a community of Christ that gathers in the light of Christ and because of Christ's light in our lives. And in recognizing so, we light this candle this day. This weekend, we have been reminded as part of our remembrance services that Christ is called the Prince of Peace, and we light this candle for those places in the world where peace is not evident, and we pray and we work for peace in this world. And as well, we light a candle honoring those who have been peacekeepers, who are peacekeepers, those who serve in our armed forces, in the armed forces of this nation, who put themselves in harm's way when they are called so to do. For those who are first responders, who are there in our hospitals and in our nursing homes 24/7, caring for us in our moments of need. With this candle, we honor and thank them for their ministry. I invite us to share together in the introit.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Let us pray together. O God of peace, we gather to remember the loss of so many of your children through the horrors of war. This sacred task of remembrance calls us to ensure that the scourge of war end, and that we must realize what is truly lost when nations resort to war. Your creation should bring joy to the world, yet too often we are unable to live at peace with ourselves and others. So this be an inspiration to our witness as we pray and worship together in Christ. Amen. And this morning, our remembrance wreath will be laid by Hav Chaisson, and he is accompanied by Byron Mullett. We who are left grow old. Age will not weary them, nor years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. As a commitment of faith, I invite us to sing together, Teach Me God to Wonder, 299 in Voices United.
Thank you. Our first reading this morning is taken from Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15 and 19 to 25. Now therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors who served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve other gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made statutes and ordinances for them in Shechem. Our responsive psalm this morning is found on page 792. It's Psalm 78. We're going to be reading part one. Give heed to my teaching, O my people. Turn your ears to the words of my mouth.
I will open my mouth in a parable. I will reveal the hidden meaning of things in the past.
What we have heard and known, what our parents have told us, we will not hide from their grandchildren.
But declare to the next generation the testimony that you gave to Jacob and the law you appointed in Israel, which you commanded them to teach their children.
That the next generation might know them, children yet unborn, and these in turn would arise and tell their children.
That they should put their trust in you and not forget your great deeds, but keep all your commandments.
Thank you, Stu. I invite the children to come forward. We need to bring our mat over. Can I get some help with that? Look, you guys have it all well in hand. Excellent. Bring it right over. Careful. Whoa, let's be careful. Let's not run over anybody. There we go. There we go. All right. Now you got the whole world in your hands, haven't you? Did you? Could be. I don't know. We'd have to ask the people who made the mat, didn't we? It's beautiful. It's all the color, all kinds of the colors of the rainbow, all around here, isn't it? That's beautiful. Well, I want to just talk with you a little bit this morning. How many of you are in the scouting or guiding programs? Yeah? Girl guides or, yes, brownies, beavers, sparks, cubs, scouts. You're a cub. So if you were going with your brownie troop, right? Brownie company, what do you call your group? I'm forgetting now. Sparks. Sparks, your Sparks group, or if you're going with your Cub Pack, or if you were going to go on a hike, what would some of the things you would need to take with you? A stick. Oh, I didn't think about it. A stick, yeah, that would be... Water, let me see here. I have a backpack here. Okay, oh yeah, look. Got my trusty water bottle, so I could go on a hike, right? I don't need anything else. Oh, I didn't... Well, it's only going to be like a little hike, so maybe like an hour. I don't have food. What else might I need to bring?
A flashlight.
A flashlight. Well, I have a flashlight on my phone, so that would count, right? I could. That's a pretty bright one, too. It'll help me, yeah?
Yeah, but you're not allowed to bring drones on camping.
You're not. But if I'm going on a hike, though, I might want to have that in case I get lost, right? Yeah. What else? Oh, okay. What else? Goggles. If it's wintertime, you might want to have some snow goggles, right? Keep snow blindness. I don't have any goggles in there. I've got glasses on. What about that?
A compass.
A compass. That's a pretty handy thing to have, isn't it? Yeah, north is that way, according to the compass. It still works. It's an old compass. Okay, so I've got that. What else might I need? A tent. If I was camping overnight, I would definitely want to have a tent. That's a really good idea. Yeah. I have Google Maps right there. How about a rope? I should have maybe a rope in case I need to. If my phone dies, then I'm in trouble, aren't I? Yeah. Make sure my phone is charged before I go. It would not be a very good skipping rope for me. Maybe for you, but not for me. It's a little short. So a rope, yeah. Good point. That's right. So rope is a handy thing to have. If I get lost in the woods, I might need to make a fire. So I've got some matches. Now I know my scout leader would tell me those are the worst kind of matches you could probably take on a camping trip. I know, but these are the only ones I could find this morning. So anyway, matches. It's just a symbol. It's a symbol. So matches. And the last thing Yeah. I could bring a flint and steel. Have you ever made a camp?
But if you were bringing matches, then you should probably bring a bucket to get water
before the outfit. You're good. I could use my water bottle, couldn't I?
Yeah.
Only if it was empty, though, because then you want to make sure it's treated, right? You don't want to drink water. And then the last thing I thought I might bring would be a knife in case I need to, you know, cut some branches or something to lay down. You're not allowed to bring it. Well, I'm allowed to bring a knife. I went to my training course when I was in Boy Scouts, and I got to learn how to use a knife. And, of course, I have it all in my trusty backpack. So anything that I have forgotten, I could put some other things in there just in case I need them, right? Yeah, like a proper map in case my phone dies, or a flashlight, or those sorts of things. Yeah. So if I'm just going on a little walk around Coal Harbor, maybe around the marsh or out by Rainbow Haven Beach, that's probably not a bad thing to take with me, is it? What's
if you're
No, I can't go up to the nearest spruce tree and just plug it in. I could carve a little USB port in this one. I didn't bring my charging cord. Oh no, I'm totally in trouble. So I'm not too badly prepared to go on a little hike, a little walk, am I? No. So Jesus tells a story to his followers today about being prepared, being ready. And he tells a story, and Stu's going to read it in just a couple of minutes, about 10 people who were going to a wedding, and the person who was the groom. They were running a little bit late, and the people who were attending the wedding, they didn't have enough oil in their lamps. Some did, some didn't. So some of them got to miss out on some of the fun of going to the wedding. So Jesus said, we have to be prepared. So I'm pretty prepared to go on a camping, on a hike. How would we prepare for God? That's a hard one. How might we get? Yeah, how are we going to prepare for God? What could we do to get ourselves ready for God? We could make a cake for God. I bet you God would lead us, would let us eat it too, eh? Yeah. Prayer, that's a good one, yep. Be kind, yep. Tidy up, look after ourselves, look after our world, yeah. Be nice to the earth. Be nice when you go to bed, right? Don't stomp your feet and say, I'm not tired. I don't want to go to bed. No, that's good. Eat a salad? How would that prepare us for God? Make us healthy. Vegetarian, yeah. Make sure we look after things and one another, right? We should look after one another as well. Care for one another. Maybe read our Bibles. And yes. So look after your things. Make sure you know where your things are. Yeah. Build an ark. Yeah. That's a good biblical story, isn't it? Moses was getting, Noah was getting ready for that, wasn't he? He was getting ready for God in that story. So it's important for us to be prepared when we go on little trips or on long trips or even when we're coming to church to be ready to find God in those places. Eh? We find God in all of the people who are gathered here this morning. We did. We planted the tree. You can see it outside at the end of the driveway here by the next to the Serenity Garden. We got it planted and we're hoping it'll be healthy in the spring when it comes time. The leaves are gone, but we're hoping that it's having a good winter sleep and learning to adjust to the new soil and stuff. They do. They hibernate, don't they? They get ready for winter.
Animals hibernate in the woods. They go to be warm and cozy.
Yeah, and we like to be warm and cozy too, don't we? I love to be warm and cozy. Yeah. Did you? That's good. That's good. So you were getting prepared, right? It's about being prepared. So let's. Good. Well, let's have a little prayer, and I'll say a bit, and you can repeat after me. Thank you, God, for the stories of Jesus that help us to prepare for meeting you in the world, in our families, in our friends, and in ourselves. Amen. Thank you very much. We're going to have a hymn now. It's Come All You People, Come and Praise Your Maker. It's number 2 in More Voices.
The scripture this morning is Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. And Jesus tells the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out and meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were buying it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour."
Let us pray. May we, in the time that we are about to share, O God, find our place deeper in you, in the imagination of our hearts and minds. May we find a sense of your Spirit that lifts us and moves us into the world. In Christ we pray. Amen. On Wednesday, our pastoral care team and members of the choir took worship to Parkland. It's our regularly scheduled second Wednesday of the month. We shared communion together and a time of remembering and honoring those who have served and those who have died in the wars of the last century and those who continue to serve and offer their lives for peace in our world. At that service, I shared my first recollection, my first memory of Remembrance Day. I was a Boy Scout at Christ Church here in Dartmouth, and we went on parade at Sullivan's Pond. So those of you who are familiar with the cenotaph at Sullivan's Pond will know that it's in sort of a hollow, and it's there. And so I was very early in Boy Scouts at that point, and so I was not prepared, as I shared with the folks on Wednesday. I was wearing my sneakers and a pair of jeans, and I don't even know if I really had anything kind of warm on underneath my scout uniform. So there I was on a wet, cold, kind of drizzly day in this little hollow down at Sullivan's Pond, with the water slowly wicking up through my sneakers and my socks and my jeans, and to the point where I was probably wet to my knees, not well prepared. And other the fellows in my troop were kind of the same. We were a little bit bemoaning. And at one point during the service, there are four service people who stand at the four corners of the cenotaph, and one of them fell over. He had been there since dawn, and he had been holding that pose for so long. And several of us realized that our little symbolic sacrifice of standing in up to our knees in wet jeans didn't really have as deep an importance as perhaps we had thought. It's important for us to put our lives in perspective. It's important for us to realize who we are, and where we stand in the world. And one of the challenges of the church, one of the challenges of our faith, is that it often calls us to stop and think about who we are and where we are and reorient ourselves to the ways in which we know are true and just. How do we live our lives as followers of the Prince of Peace? I imagine this week the men and women of faith in the last century struggling with the idea of war. I imagined the way in which they tried to process for themselves the need to preserve peace, to protect against violence and oppression those who would visit that upon the innocent, those who need someone to stand beside them in the face of injustice. I can imagine the struggle of those who claim to be followers of the Prince of Peace going off to war. How does one hear the voice of Jesus telling Peter to put his sword away as he seeks to protect Jesus in the garden? As he says, those who live by the sword will die by the sword, and yet are called in their vocation to take up sword in order to stand in harm's way. What an incredibly difficult calling to wrestle with. We must honor that calling as much as any other calling in our world. Neither path toward peace
It's more faithful, I believe, than the other. And we must be prepared as individuals to choose the path of faith that leads us closer to God and to God's presence in the world. And so we remember those who have chosen to answer the call, those who have stood for peace, those who have people of faith who have left others behind in order to support and care and pray for them as they serve. We also remember that it is our call to choose to follow God or to find our own way in the world. Joshua tells the Israelites as they stand at the river, as they are about to make a great choice for themselves and for their children and their children's children, they stand at the river about to cross, ready to take that final step of the journey, one that has lasted 40 years in the wilderness. As they seek to move from slavery into freedom, from oppression into joy. They cannot, Joshua tells them, claim to be followers of God. They cannot claim to be God's faithful people if they forget the lessons of the past. If they forget what it was like to be in Egypt. If they forget what it was like to travel through the desert as people of faith. Joshua knows that as a people, we want to fall back into the ways that are easy. How many of us, given the choice, would fall back to that easy way? Yeah, me too. He knows that people do not necessarily easily learn a new way of being, and that it will be hard for them to be responsible in keeping the covenant that was forged in the desert. He knows that they are only going to want to sing the old favorite hymns, not those newfangled ones. Joshua tells them, "You must put away the gods of your past. You must focus on Yahweh and the covenant." In the church and in Christianity, we sometimes become more attached to the gods that were part of our past or that we were simply used to having around. The gods of previous worship styles. The gods of traditional church, the gods of old hurts. Don't we in the church love to hold on to those old hurts? The slights that we received, the gods of the way things used to be. We cannot move forward if we are tied too tightly to the past. Joshua knew this. And he challenged the people to be prepared to choose the gods of their past or the Yahweh of their present and their future. As for me and my house, Joshua declares, we will serve Yahweh. As part of our Remembrance Day and our Remembrance Service, we have an opportunity to symbolically stand with those who have gone before us, honoring, giving thanks to those who have served, those who have given so much, and sometimes who gave all in the cause of justice, in the act of war, but for the cause of a greater peace, we hope. But we cannot remain in the past. And as much as I enjoy the next person in Flanders Fields, I am concerned with Major McRae's line calling of us to take up the quarrel with the foe. I cannot believe that a man of medicine and healing would want us to perpetuate that otherness, that foeness of the other. I believe our veterans' legacy is theirs, and we honor it, and we uphold it. Ours may indeed be that way, but we hope it will be one that finds peace. one that finds ways from moving away from violence, one that calls us to care for the vulnerable, the oppressed, and the victimized by power. I believe that God's call to us as people of faith is to serve the cause of Yahweh in the world, the healing of creation and all that is in it. How we do that as people of faith is best up to us and God. As for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. May it be so. Amen.
Charles. There are announcements that need to be shared. I believe. Maurice.
I'm back again, as you know. So I got two announcements. I won't bug you next week or the week after, maybe the following weeks, but we're still looking for a volunteer for the Resource Center to work on Wednesdays from 10 to 1. I will even show you how it's done. Even maybe Bill will show you how it's done. So that it's not going to be too difficult, but we need a volunteer to sit in, answer the phone, deal with customers, that sort of thing, on Wednesday. So please jump up and say, I'll do it, and that'll be great. Now, the next message, and I'm sure it's on the screen. I haven't seen it on the screen because we're inside practicing for our presentation to you guys on Sunday morning. But the choir is doing a concert on the 17th of December at 7:30. Come and see us. The more the merrier. There will be some signs put up outside so you won't forget. And I will be letting you know later so you won't forget. So put it on your calendar. Come see us. Thank you.
Hello. I'm looking for a few volunteers that would like to bake for this Friday's paint night. I know it's a bit early, but it's Christmas themed, so Christmas themed baked goods would be great. And there is one minor correction. The announcement for the paint night on the screen says the start time is 6. It's actually 7. Thanks.
Good morning. Two announcements. Number one, this afternoon at 2 o'clock, I'll be leading worship at Ocean View Manor. Any of you who would like to come and be part of that community, it would be wonderful. Just arrive somewhere around 1:45 the hour. I get started around 2 o'clock or when the last roundup ends. We round up people from all around the center. The second announcement is one from the choir to you. I have the privilege of being the president of the choir, and you know, I know we all talk about it. As we in the choir approach our senior years, we are wondering about succession. You know, at work, I have folks who are learning my job so that they can take over when I become a senior citizen. And today, it occurred to me that I watched in a concert Charles Myra and his brother performing when they were in grade six. And I watched and had the privilege of participating with Lee in a play when I first arrived here at the church. And Lee, how old were you then? Okay. So what I'm asking all of you is this. We have new families who are becoming church members. We have new families who are visiting with us regularly. We have wonderful voices out there. From the choir's perspective, standing up here looking at all of you singing hymns, we love to see the smiling faces and just you guys getting right into those hymns. The ancient old ones as well as the new ones. But we need choir members. So if you've been faint of heart and not wanting to take that first step, just come and talk to any one of us. We'll help you get along. We'll help you become members of the choir. And just as the mission and service people get to wear a pin and carry a pen, you guys get to wear one of these lovely gowns. So it's something to think about. Thank you.
One announcement, don't forget the luncheon next week. I hope everybody got a chance to go out to the Serenity Garden and see the new walkway. I think it's quite lovely. But come and join us for lunch so we can raise some money to help pay for what we did. So there's a little catch to that. I have a picture I want to show everybody. Does anybody know who this is? Anybody at all? This little fellow. No. Go back to the other one. This little fellow was born 50 years ago today. But not yet. It was at 5:30 Toronto time at Women's College Hospital. So that would be 4:30 this afternoon, which I found is interesting because that's where I was born. Weighing in at 7 pounds, 4 ounces. I got this information from Michael's mother, Brenda. I also got a few pictures, some compromising pictures, which are in the hall and also a cake. I also got them from Tamara, who Michael met at Nova Scotia Teachers College and somehow convinced her later on to marry him, although when you look at this picture, she might have had second thoughts. I'm told, actually, that Bob is the cat. So I'm not sure what's going on there, but good for Tamara. So please join us afterwards for some birthday cake for this fella. This is his 50th birthday.
Birthdays today too. 65 today. 65. Come and cut the cake with me. So thank you very much. Thank you. Other announcements. sing song. We're having the pastoral care team is hosting a sing song this coming Thursday from 1 to 2:30 in the chapel with tea and cookies. Come on out and have sing a few songs and share in a time of merriment and song making together, a time of fellowship together. I don't know. Tamara can tell you I'm not often at a loss for words. Where I am here. Invitation to the offer. No, where I. that's it. It's all downhill from here, right? A couple more hours. Thank you. That's the life and work of the community. Just one last thing to share. Our thoughts and our prayers and our sympathies go to Carol on the death of her sister Mildred yesterday. And so our thoughts are with Carol this morning as she is thinking about family and friends. This morning we are going to be receiving new members. I'm not sure if all three will be joining because, you know, some of them are bad. Ratting me out. Anyway, I will invite Lee, as chair of our unified board, to come forward. I guess we'll do it over here.
That would be you. The beginning church?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. The church is a community of people with varied gifts, united by the Holy Spirit. We gather to celebrate God's presence, to discern God's truth, and to follow the way of Jesus. By our baptism, we are made members of Christ's church. We exercise this membership in the denomination to which we belong, which for us is the United Church of Canada, and within the context of a local community of faith. We welcome now into this congregation those who are already members of the Church of Jesus Christ. On behalf of Cole Harbour Woodside United Congregation, I present the following persons whom we welcome into the membership of this community of faith: Tamara Mugford, Jonathan Mugford, and Anna Mugford.
I'll invite those being received to please stand. No closer. Tamara, Jonathan, and Anna, will you join with us as together we celebrate God's presence, live with respect in creation, love and serve others, seek justice and resist evil? If so, answer, I will with God's help. Dear friends in Christ, let us pledge to Tamara, Jonathan, and Anna our support and care.
As your brothers and sisters in Christ, we rejoice in the gifts you bring to us. We pledge to you our love and support. With God's help, we will together live out the mission and ministry of Christ's Church.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome you to the privileges and responsibilities of membership in this congregation, and we give thanks to God for your witness among us. Receive gifts not only in offering envelopes and through par, but through the lives that we share together. And let us honor God's gifts to us as we present our gifts and our offerings.
Thank you.
our world. May these gifts that we bring forward this day and our lives that we present at this time, may they be a token of that which we have received, and may it mark our recommitment to serving you and our world. In Christ we pray. Let us join together in a time of prayer. Joyful to be together in this time and in this place, O God, we, your people, pause to focus our thoughts on you, to focus our thoughts on others, to focus our thoughts on our spirits and the ways in which we live together in this world. Over the past days and months in this nation, we have been pausing to remember, to honor those who have served, to think about the ways in which humankind has not treated one another well, the ways in which we have so quickly turned to violence and destruction, and the ways in which we have also grown, the commitments we have made once again to times of peace, ways in which we have sought to find mediation and negotiation as alternative to war. May we never forget, may we always honor, and may we always take this opportunity to pledge anew to the cause of peace, justice, and equity in our world. Thankful for the community which surrounds us this day, for the lives that are gathered here in this place, for the spirits that surround us in our communities, in our homes near and far, and for the saints in light which look upon us and dwell within our hearts. This day we offer prayers for those who are in need, listening intently for the call to respond to places of disaster, to places of conflict, to places of poverty and illness. We listen intently to the needs of our community. What is the church and what is faith? Questions that are asked of us as people of faith. Is God still speaking? We listen intently to the voices of those who count themselves within our numbers, asking for prayers for family and friends. Calls on the telephone, emails, encounters in the coffee shops and at the doors of worship. Today we pause in this moment to remember, to honor, and to pray for friends and family. Those whose names are listed each week in our bulletins, those whose names are known only in our hearts. We pray too for ourselves, that we might daily recommit ourselves to the cause of the Prince of Peace, that we might walk in truth and in justice, that we might find ways of living the call to love you, O God, with all our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. This commandment we receive from Jesus as he received it from his scriptures, we share with our children and their children. These words also we receive from Jesus as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but
deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And our closing hymn this morning, number 159, in More Voices, in Star and Crescent. Share the light that we have within us with those around us. And as we go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us, those we love, and those we find it hard to love.